Hi, this is Dominic Cole from The Breakfast Show, and this is IMO with Tom Jackson. It's the news, but not as you know it.
Yes, so hello, it is IMO, it is IMO. IMO, of course, stands for In My Opinion, because that's what the show's about, silly. That's what it's about. It's all about opinions and sharing them. This is, of course, the show where I find funny slash interesting slash quite interesting news stories from all across the interweb nets. I put them on a piece of paper. I share them with you because I want to know what you're thinking about them. And then I hear from you and sometimes I respond back. It's a Lee conversation. And that's the whole concept. I think it's fairly basic. I think it's quite easy to understand. Tell me if I'm wrong. Please do tell me if I'm wrong. So, the story I want to be... my top story for today is all about homes. And, of course, that is one of the most exciting topics, of course, for me to talk about. I've talked about space before. I've talked about hyperloops. I've talked about, I don't know, all sorts. I've talked about Ant getting a drink driving fine. Come on, homes? Really? I do have a reason for talking about this, however. The idea is that the rush to build new homes is leaving people dependent on their cars. That is the story we are going to be talking about. That is what I'm going to be kicking off the show with today. I also have a pet peeves poll, which we'll be conducting later in the show. That's all about Christmas decorations. I hope I'm not stirring anything up here. Little family dispute. I've also got a tune of the week from Jade Bird. A lovely kind of a country sound coming your way in the musical interlude. I love it. I really, really love this track. I'm really looking forward to sharing it. Well, with all the stuff I'm talking about today, there is one thing that links all of it. And it is the fact that I want to hear what you think. And you can tell me that in a many different ways. Many different ways. You can tweet me. At Vectis Radio is the handle. It's twitter.com/VectisRadio. You can also send me a little text. The number is 60777. That's 60777. And if you start that message with BR6TT, that comes right through to my fingertips. How fancy. And if you want to do it the old-fashioned way, you can send me an email to studio@vectisradio.fm. Now, without further ado, let's get into the top story of the day. It's all about housing. Lovely. Love housing. Love a bit of housing. Anyway, right, let's just get into it, shall we? Okay, so welcome to the first half of IMO, standing, of course, for In My Opinion, as ever. The first story I wanted to talk about today, my top story for this week, is all about building homes. Yeah, I'm going all Bob the Builder on you. You are welcome. Yeah, that was a terrible joke. It was. Anyway, the story is all about the rush to build new homes and people being left dependent on cars. So a new report has revealed that this is the fate of many young couples. Sad face, I am a young person. I'm not in a couple, but I don't want to end up dependent on my car. I want to use the bus. As crazy as that sounds, I want to use a bus because, I don't know, I just prefer it. Anyway, the research has been undertaken by a new green group called Transport for New Homes. Now, researchers visited more than 20 housing developments across England, finding that the scramble to build new homes is producing houses next to bypasses and link roads, which are too far out to walk or cycle to, but lack local and also lack local good local buses. There you go, I got there in the end. That was a hell of a stumble. Blimey. You can tell it's Monday. Can you tell it's Monday? I think I can. Anyway, interestingly, a little side note here with this story about discouraging cars and kind of being forced into it. Interestingly, the RAC, the accident people, have backed the research, saying we need new housing developments with a genuine mix of transport options. The report actually praised specifically Poundbury in Dorset, located on the outskirts of Dorchester on land owned by the Duchy of Cornwall, for being designed, quote, around people rather than the car. And in response to this, a government spokesperson has said that the new planning rulebook for, forces developers to produce areas that promote walking, cycling and public transport. Now, let's get into my opinion on this, my take on this story, because it was one that I was hoping to cover last week, but I got too invested. I got too invested in a fracking conversation. That's the extraction of shale gas, I believe. Gas and oil through a kind of pumping thing. But that was what we were talking about last week. Last week's news. Now, anyway, my take on the story about new housing developments leaving people dependent on their cars. I think this is something that we perhaps haven't really noticed. And now we've got to the point where all these houses have finished being built. People are now living in them and saying, well, this is stupid. How am I supposed to get anywhere? And it's something that I kind of feel like needs to be taken on a bit more across the board, to be honest, because we're quite obsessed with figures, I think. I think as a group of people, humans are very obsessed with figures. We want to get the figures right. We want to get it good, like nice and good. We want to get our spreadsheets green. And this is kind of a case in point where, quick, we need to get the spreadsheet in the green. We need to get enough houses. Build as many as you can, wherever you can, and don't really bother about making them good places to live, making them easier to connect, all sorts of things like that. And it's something that really, I wish we kind of remembered the human element of things a bit more when people make decisions. But, I mean, specifically on this housing thing, I was wondering, out-of-town supermarkets and massive shopping complexes, that's another example of how people are becoming more and more dependent on cars. I wish we just didn't do that. I mean, if people want to open up a big shop, sure, but make it relatively close to the centre instead of, like, miles and miles out in the middle of a field. That's a bit stupid, isn't it? Anyway, sorry, I'm getting a bit heated. I'm getting a bit heated there. But the question I want to ask you on the story about the rush of new homes being built is leaving people dependent on cars through bad kind of positioning of the estates. So the question I have for all the people listening is, would you be content living in a cut-off estate like this? Have you seen, and the sub-question is, have you ever seen anything like this on the island? Because I know there are a variety of housing developments that have sprung up in recent years. And I don't know whether, because the island's on a smaller scale, I guess, it's not as big of an issue as it is, say, perhaps on the mainland. But perhaps, as I was mentioning a second ago, supermarkets, maybe that's an area where the island is a bit more relevant in this. And I'd just love to hear what you're thinking about this. Are you bothered about living in a cut-off estate? Do you think it would kill the vibe? Would you want to live there? That's the question I have to ask to you today, and that'll be going up on our Twitter at Vectis Radio is the handle. Of course, text 60777, starting the message with BR6TT, and email studio@vectisradio.fm. I'd love to hear what you're thinking. We got some pink now. It's 20 minutes past six. We're going to go right into the musical interlude. How fancy is that?
Hello, Laura here from the Wednesday Afternoon Show. This is IMO with Tom Jackson. It's the news, but not as you know it.
Howdy, welcome back. That was my tune of the week, Jade Bird. Love has all been done before. What am I with the tongue twisting today? I really can't get anything out of my face. I'm sorry. I'll try and clean up my act for the second half. Anyway, it's Pet Peeves O'Clock, even if that's even a time. This is where I poll the audience on a topic that doesn't really matter, but I just felt like polling them anyway. Last week, I talked about a recent investigation that's ranked the island as the second to least haunted place in England, despite thousands of ghost hunters descending on the island in search of paranormal activity. Now, the source that I had for that previous week has since disappeared. So I don't understand what happened there. But the question that I posed still stands. My question was, do you believe in ghosts? Because this was, of course, in the run-up to Halloween. And we've decided whether ghosts are real or not. The island has voted. The island has decided. 67% said yes, I believe. And 33% no, there's no such thing. I was proven wrong here. I don't know. I haven't had any paranormal experiences myself, but there you go. The island has spoken. Ghosts are real, and whoever says they aren't are wrong. Anyway, let's get into this week's pet peeves. So, the question this week is a very simple one. It is, of course, November now. We're running up to Christmas very quickly. I thought I'd jump on the early festive train. So, we all know that shops start very early with the Christmas. Some people starting in August. Why? Why start in August? Anyway, repress the opinion. Save it for later. Anyway, so we all know that shops do that, but everybody knows one person that puts the Christmas decorations up at this point, immediately after Halloween. Why? That's my opinion. Like, why? Why? It's too soon. It's just way too soon. I mean, like, you've got to have some kind of buffer zone. Are you going to pack away the moldy pumpkin in the corner of the room? Anyway, I digress. At what point is it okay to put up Christmas decorations? November or December? I personally, which is the festive month. It's the festive month. As a buffer zone between us. Now, the poll will be going up just after this on our Twitter page. Twitter.com/VectisRadio. The handle is @VectisRadio. It will stay up for the whole week. And I will announce the results. What's that? This is my favourite segment to do because I always enjoy coming up with the topics, and it's great to see people getting involved in this. Yes, I love it. I love this stuff. But the poll will be going up very shortly. Stay tuned on the Twitter page for that. Here's Len Lovich, Say When. Welcome to the second half of... which show is this again?
Hi, it's Ian Mack from The Mid-Morning Show, and this is IMO with Tom Jackson. It's the news, but not as you know it.
Oh yeah, I remembered. Anyway, welcome back to part two of IMO. Now, I have some more stories. After our top story of the day, which was all about the rush to build new homes, leaving people dependent on their cars, I actually found a couple more. I found a couple more stories that I want to share with you. And one of them is about a list of the UK's unhealthiest high streets. And the other is the banning of 10,000 anti-voting bots. We'll go into what those are in a minute. But first, I wanted to kick off with the unhealthy high street story, which you may have seen about. So a list of the UK's unhealthiest high streets have been revealed. The Royal Society for Public Health ranked high streets with more payday lenders, bookmakers, tanning salons and fast food outlets as the worst, and things that were considered healthy were libraries, museums, leisure centres and art galleries, among other things. And the interesting thing about the results for this list, they showed a clear link between deprived areas and unhealthy high streets. It's a bit sad. Interestingly, actually, something you may not have considered is that pubs were considered a positive thing to find on the high street because they're centres for socialising. However, there is a decline of pubs. We've seen it on the island. There's been numerous pubs. There have been a couple in Cowes, some in Newport, some elsewhere. Pubs are in a decline across the board, and people are now using coffee shops to socialise in. That was something that was picked up on by this study. Now, the title of unhealthiest high street in the country went to Grimsby, with the healthiest going to Edinburgh. Now, an interesting thing is that I find this study really interesting because high streets are a bit of an odd place at the moment because they aren't really the main centre for shopping because that seems to have moved out into big retail parks and centres. Whereas, but there are lots of independent places and kind of socializing places that are still there. It's kind of in a weird limbo state where it's not quite one thing, but it's not quite another thing. But several major high street retailers have vanished within the past year, for example, Maplin, which kind of show a general downturn for physical shops at the moment, which was kind of what I was hitting on a second ago, where we're getting less and less people in the high streets. I'm talking about shops when I say people. There are less and less shops in the high streets and more of these out-of-town shops. In a way, this is linked to the top story of the day. But I thought it was a really interesting thing to share because I'd never seen high streets or kind of stuff like that ranked in terms of healthiness. That's kind of an interesting concept to me and something I'd be intrigued about. But the question I had for all the people listening is, how healthy do you think your high street is? I'd love to hear what you're thinking. I'll be posting all the questions up to our Twitter page, at Vectus Radio is the handle, at the end of the show. And I'd love to see what you're thinking on these. So that's where those will be. The second story I wanted to talk about today was all about Twitter. Everybody loves Twitter. I mean, I'm tweeting throughout this show. I mean, seriously. But this is not so nice Twitter news, as they've had to ban 10,000 anti-voting bots, which could potentially affect the upcoming United States midterm elections. Dun, dun, dun. That's a different country. Why are you talking about that, Tom? Well, I think it's kind of interesting, and I think, one, I think it's interesting, and two, it does kind of affect us in a way, because it proves that the technology is out there. Now, the majority of the accounts were posing as Democrats, encouraging US voters not to bother going to the polls. And the bots were taken down over the last 2 months, and Twitter was first notified by them by the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. Try saying that three times fast. Gosh. Anyway, they were set up to respond to the widespread misinformation around Hillary Clinton, the presidential candidate in the 2016 presidential campaign. That's according to Reuters. Twitter believes that the bots were ran from inside of the US, so before everybody starts screaming, "Ah, it was people from a different country trying to interrupt everything," they think it's been done from inside. And since then, and kind of alongside it, local states such as California have started to pass laws that ban the use of undeclared bots in elections, making the practice illegal, essentially. And so, to give a quick explanation, bots are kind of automated accounts that pretend to be real people, just in case. I thought I may as well explain that, just because I felt like it. I had an urge. I had this thought in the back of my mind that thought, I felt like I need to explain this. But, so, there you go. That's what bots are. And the story is all about Twitter banning 10,000 anti-voting bots. The question I wanted to ask all of you lovely people is, do you think the UK should enact a similar law if it isn't in place at the moment? And the sub-question is, do you think the UK is as susceptible to bots as the US? Because we have a slightly different political system, we've got slightly different ways of doing things. Do you think that online bots and ads and stuff are affecting the UK as much as it does in the US? Less? More? Love to hear what you're thinking. And you can let me know how you're thinking in a number of ways. You can tweet me. The handle is at Vectus Radio. It's twitter.com/Vectus Radio. You can also send me a text to 60777. Start that message with BR60T. Comes right through to my fingertips. What a thrill. And you can also send an email to studio@vectusradio.fm if you want to do it old school. And I'm afraid that is the end of the show. It's 4 minutes to seven. It's gone surprisingly quickly yet again. But I will be back next week with more wacky news, more nuts news stories to share with you. I'll be having a new pet peeves poll, a new tune of the week, a shiny new show for you. That's what you got to look forward to next week. Nothing. Yes, so that's what you've got to look forward to next week from this show. Coming up right after me, we've got Marco with his mod anthems. Yes, he's back again. We've also got and after that, it's the Nonstop 80s, then the Overnight Express. Then Dom will be back with the breakfast show from 8 o'clock on Tuesday morning. Now, it's 4 minutes to seven now, you see. Time passes. We're travelling in time. We're technically time travellers. Anyway, To take us up to the news for 7 o'clock, here's Maroon 5 with Girls Like You. See you next week.
I hope you enjoyed all of that and thanks for listening. You can tune in live to the IMO show every Monday from 6 to 7pm on Vectis Radio, FM 104.6 and online. I hope to see you there.